this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
You know, sometimes showing mercy is just simply being friendly to somebody who does not expect anyone to be friendly to them. Someone who maybe never experiences kindness or friendliness toward them. What if we actually lived like the Beatitudes are teaching us to live? And we become signposts that point to the kingdom.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Sermon on the Mount. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, in a message titled, God, Mercy, and the Merciful. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So I read this because I think this is an important thing. Because when we start talking about mercy, inevitably the question comes up, but yeah, who gets the mercy? Because there are some people that we might think, well, they don't deserve mercy. And you know what? That's why they're going to get mercy, because they don't deserve it. If they got what they deserved, it wouldn't be called mercy, would it? It would be called justice. But Jesus, in some ways, seemingly indiscriminately, he shows mercy. So mercy is often in Scripture as a description. It's used often in Scripture as a description of kindness or goodwill toward the miserable and the afflicted. So when you see kindness, when you see goodwill being directed toward those who are suffering, oftentimes mercy is the word that's used to describe what is happening there. And Jesus exemplified mercy over and over again in his ministry. Let me just give you just some examples from the Gospel of Luke. Now, John Stott referred to what we commonly call the parable of the Good Samaritan. And maybe you remember the story of the Good Samaritan. There is a man who is traveling he's traveling this path from Jericho up to Jerusalem. He's overtaken by robbers. He's beaten and left for dead. And as he's lying there on the road, a priest comes by and sees him and decides, like, I got to get to the temple. I don't have time to deal with this. So he goes around the man and leaves him in his state. And then a Levite, who is similar to a priest, he's somebody who works in the temple, he pretty much does the same thing. And then a Samaritan comes along. Now, Jesus is telling this story for a number of reasons, but somebody asked the question. Jesus was talking about loving your neighbor. Somebody asked the question, well, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus is going to show, or he's going to, through the story, he's going to show who was the real neighborly person here. And then he talks about the Samaritan. So Samaritans, if you remember, they were outcasts as far as Jews were concerned. And the last person you're going to expect, from a Jewish standpoint, the last person you're going to expect to do any good is a Samaritan. They're kind of good for nothing. But Jesus makes the Samaritan the hero of the story. But that's not really my point. My point in telling the story is that the Samaritan comes. He sees the man in his distress. He takes him up and he moves him to a place where he can be taken care of, where he can be helped, where he can be healed, and he pays all of his expenses for his recovery. And when Jesus is telling this story, he refers to the Samaritan as the one who showed mercy. The Samaritan showed mercy. So that's an example of mercy. In Luke chapter 17, there's a story of 10 lepers that were cleansed by Jesus. And they came, these 10 lepers, they came and they said, have mercy on us. And Jesus healed all 10 of them. But as the story goes, as they were going to the priest, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. As they were going to the priest, only one of them came back to give thanks. But again, the point is, it was the healing of them, of their leprosy, that was a demonstration of mercy, even though nine of them didn't really express thanks for it. One did, but the mercy was shown to all 10. Then we have the story in Luke 19 of this tax collector named Zacchaeus. Maybe you remember that story. Jesus is coming into Jericho, and there's this notorious tax collector. He's really short. He's curious about Jesus. He can't see him because of his height, so he climbs up in a tree to see Jesus, and as Jesus passes by, he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to have lunch with you today." And when Jesus goes into the house of Zacchaeus, everybody is just beside themselves. What is he doing? Doesn't he know who this man is? Zacchaeus is terrible. He's ripped off everyone. What is Jesus doing? He's showing mercy to Zacchaeus. And as the story goes, Zacchaeus ends up turning away from his greed and then taking care of the people. And salvation has come to this man's house this day, Jesus said. But he's demonstrating mercy to Zacchaeus. And then finally, in Luke chapter 23, where we have the account of the crucifixion of Jesus, I think most of us will remember what Jesus said as he was being crucified. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." That's mercy. So Jesus is showing us mercy in action. He is demonstrating mercy. And as he's showing us mercy, we are learning what mercy actually looks like. And then ideally, through us imitating what Jesus did, the world would also see what mercy looks like, what the kingdom of God and its citizens are like, as we would live in the way of Jesus. And by this, then we really become, as we've used this quote from Eugene Peterson, a colony of heaven in a country of death. Again, that's a distinction. All around is a merciless world, but then there's this outpost of mercy. That's the church. That's what the church is to be. Now, here's a question that we have to face at the moment. How is it that so many who claim to follow Jesus, and I'm talking about right now, how is it that so many who claim to follow Jesus have been swept into the culture wars and embraced the merciless cancel culture of the moment? I mean, this is a real thing, not just in the larger culture. This is a real thing in the church. Christians are so radically divided over politics and over policies and things like that. I mean, there are Christian families who no longer speak to each other because of politics. So their bond in Jesus is not strong enough to overcome their political opinions, and so they've canceled one another. This is so far from the way it ought to be. These prevailing attitudes are not fitting for the children of God. And so when we're talking about mercy and we're seeing it demonstrated through the life of Jesus, and we're seeing that this is the very nature of God, and we are the children of God who, as his children, are participants in his nature, that would say that this attribute of God of mercy ought to be being displayed through us as well. Now, we've been talking so far mostly about displaying mercy toward those who are afflicted, those who are in hardship, those who are in difficulty. And again, let me just say this. You know, as we go out and as we're about our business and we come across people in our communities that are downcast, that are out on the streets, that are, you know, whatever the circumstances are, their plight is difficult. What should our attitude be? And I think it's easy at times to just look at certain people and say, well, you know what? That's what they get because of the way they've lived. That's what they deserve. And that's what we think in our mind, and therefore that's the way we respond to them, or we fail to respond to them, we avoid them, we don't talk to them, we don't look at them. Because, you know, they got themselves in this predicament, and why should I care about that? Well, we should care about it because Jesus cares about it. Because our God's heart is a merciful heart. How many of you have ever had a homeless person ask you for money? Anyone ever have that happen? Happens all the time, doesn't it? You know, most of the time nowadays, I just give them money. And I give them money in the name of Jesus. And I let them know, like, hey. And, you know, there's a time in my life when I thought, I'm not giving you anything. I know you're going to take this, and I know you're going to go get high. And, you know, nowadays, I just look at them and say, you know, maybe you are going to get high. I don't know what you're going to do with this, but you obviously are in need. But for the opportunity to simply just say, you know, Jesus loves you. You know, Jesus has the answer to what you're looking for. Jesus is the solution to your situation. You know, and what I'm talking about here is not even so much the giving of the money, but it's what are our hearts saying? What are our hearts reacting like when we see people in that kind of a state? We might see somebody and we automatically conclude, oh, they're probably an illegal or something like that. So what are they doing here in the first place? And that very thought should be rebuked in the name of Jesus. Whatever you think about immigration policy, all of that, that's not what I'm talking about. But our own hearts having those kinds of attitudes it's the opposite of the heart of Jesus. So we've been talking mostly about that, but let's turn to mercy toward the offender. Many times that's the context as well in life, right? And so the words merciful and mercy also have to do with how we treat those who have wronged us. How we treat those who have wronged us. So the merciful are those who, rather than refusing to forgive and exacting vengeance, deal graciously with those who have wronged them. Anybody ever been wronged? Anybody ever been lied about? Anybody ever been slandered? Anybody ever been cheated? Of course, we all have. How do we respond to that? Well, it's completely understandable that there would be something in us that just says, you know, that is wrong and this is unjust and they need to be dealt with. But is that mercy? Is that mercy? It's not. You see, mercy refuses to hold on to unforgiveness, to exact vengeance. Every Christian, here's something that we cannot forget. Every one of us who are Christians today has been shown mercy. And it wasn't just the mercy that God showed you when he saved you. He's been showing you mercy ever since. He's been showing you mercy your whole life. Been showing you mercy the whole time that finally brought you to the point of your receiving Christ and having your sins forgiven. But from that point forward, he's still been showing you mercy. He's still been showing us mercy. And so since we have been shown mercy, we are to therefore show mercy in return. Jesus told the parable of the unforgiving servant. Do you remember that parable? Jesus tells the story of a man, a master, who goes to his servant and says, pay me what you owe me. And let's just say he owed him $10,000. Pay me the $10,000. Pay me right now, or I'm going to sell your wife and your children off, and I'm going to put you in jail. And the servant falls down, and he begs, and he says, oh, please have compassion. Please have mercy. Please don't do that. And it says that the master was moved with compassion and just forgave the whole debt. Said, okay, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's taken care of. But then the man who was forgiven, it says that he went and he found someone who was indebted to him, who owed him, let's say, $100. And he said, pay me right now, or I'm going to cast you in jail. And the man fell down and said, oh, please, please have mercy on me. Please just give me a chance. I'll pay back. No! You pay me right now, or you're going off to jail. And those around see what's happening. And they go back to the master and they say, you know the one that you forgave that great debt? He's now trying to extract from somebody else and he has no mercy. So the master is angry and he finds him, he takes him and he throws him in the debtor's prison. But the point is, he has this debt, this tremendous debt that he is completely unable to pay, and he's forgiven entirely, but then he fails to do that for those who owe him something. Jesus told that in this context of showing mercy. And he says in verse 33, and this is the story Jesus is telling. He says, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? This is what the master says. So we've been shown mercy. Therefore, we ought to show mercy. Psalm 103 says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Lamentations 3:22, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Isn't that beautiful? His mercies are new every morning. I am so happy that that is the case. To just wake up in the morning and think that the mercy of God is right here to greet me today. Whatever happened yesterday, whatever happened last week, whatever happened in the past, his mercies are new every morning. Paul, in writing to Titus, he said, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Look, the truth of the matter is, we all need mercy. We all need mercy. And the promise here in verse 7 is that those who are merciful will be shown mercy. We will be shown mercy. There's a powerful passage in James chapter 2. It says, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Wow. So you see, when we recognize that we've been the recipients of mercy, when we recognize we still need mercy, when we recognize that there might come a day where I really need mercy, I ought to cultivate mercy in my life. And mercy triumphs over judgment. So, in closing, who are we to show mercy to? Anyone and everyone. Those we deem deserving and those we deem undeserving. Those that we even think that, well, why should I help that person? Because that's what mercy does. Especially those in need, those suffering injustice, the poor, the oppressed, those who have failed in sin, we need to show it in our words, our tone, our actions, our posture, and our presence. You know, sometimes showing mercy is just simply being friendly to somebody who does not expect anyone to be friendly to them. Someone who maybe never experiences kindness or friendliness toward them. What if we actually lived like the Beatitudes are teaching us to live? And we become signposts that point to the kingdom. That's the whole objective. That's what we're aiming toward. If we put into practice, beginning in our hearts and then right in our homes or at our place of employment, among our neighbors, in our politics, if we really begin to live this upside down kingdom, this is going to be, and again, in our cultural moment, this is going to be shouting loud and clear, like there is an alternative. There is something different than what is going on around us. Jesus, our master, says, this is the way of blessing and flourishing. Will we take him at his word and will we apply these things? Will we take his yoke upon us and turn from our pride and our assertiveness and our self-justifying and our unmerciful attitudes? Will we take his yoke upon us and let him transform us into who he wants us to be? This is the way. This is the way forward. This is the call for the church. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
For the month of June, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Surprising Genius of Jesus, What the Gospels Reveal About the Greatest Teacher by Peter J. Williams. Although the Bible is the best-selling book of all time, the authorship is often challenged. Debates surrounding whether the words of Jesus were truly spoken by him or if they were actually the creation of the gospel writers. Well, in his book, The Surprising Genius of Jesus, Peter J. Williams presents several arguments to prove the authenticity of the words of Jesus. As a test case, Peter J. Williams takes an in-depth look at the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. He traces the cleverness and wisdom of the teaching of Jesus that displays his ability to relate Luke 15 to the broader story of the Bible. The storytelling of Jesus was able to confront the opponents of his time through complex layers and themes. And the powerful storytelling ability of Jesus is also available for discovery today. The book, The Surprising Genius of Jesus, will not only help you better understand the parable of the prodigal son, it will also help you to see Jesus in a way that you may never have seen him before. Find out what the Gospels reveal about the greatest teacher in history. the book The Surprising Genius of Jesus, where the Gospels reveal about the greatest teacher by Peter J. Williams, is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Sermon on the Mount. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.